So both of your programs are associated with already existing food banks, is that correct? And do you have a sense of why you have families that are not being served by the food bank? You know, that they don't have any, their kids are on free and reduced lunch, presumably, at school. They're getting some food supplementation at school.
And why they don't come to the food bank?
Why are the families not getting the food from the food bank?
Well, that's hard to say. You know, some people are too proud to go to the food bank. Some people, maybe they're working, maybe, you know, a lot of people in South King County, it takes 2 full-time minimum wage jobs to support a 2-bedroom apartment and all the, or 2.5 full-time minimum wage jobs, I think, to support 2-bedroom apartment and all the costs with that. And so maybe they're working during our hours, though food banks, you know, do have some evening hours. Maybe they're
working 2 or 3 jobs.
Yeah, if you're working 2 or 3 jobs, it might be really tough. To come in, and a lot of households do not have 2 parents. So how are they going to work that 2.5 time minimum wage jobs? You know, they have to have 1 really pretty good paying job, or they're working a lot.
Yeah. And we don't, since we don't know who the kids are, we don't know that the parents aren't coming either to our food bank or to another food bank.
So we actually know who all the kids are in ours. Our schools just give us the information. We have a lot of funders in King County that want to know demographic information. They'll never ask us a specific information on a specific family or child or person. They want to know demographic information, and they're supporting us with quite a bit of money. So we try to do our best and give them some demographic information. And the first year, we had 155 families, and only 5 of them had come to our food bank. So the schools, this told me 2 things. The schools did a really good job identifying people that needed kids that were hungry, and that coming to the food bank made a big difference in a family, that the school didn't identify those families as being hungry, or as those kids as being hungry. Now, you know, we've really encouraged those families to come to the food bank, so a higher amount of folks that are in our backpack program do come to the food bank, because we want them to have more nutritious food, more nutritious food than we can put in those backpacks. Go ahead.
What did you learn from these people that you both? I mean, because when I was doing the research on this, I found that, you know, people were going to food banks still weren't getting enough.
Right.
Yeah, the food banks, you know,
how close is that getting them to?
Well, hopefully they get some. Hopefully they get some food stamps too. But a lot of folks just get. You know, food stamps is minimal. A family might get $300 worth of food stamps, or they might not get that much. You know, the minimum is $16, so people can get $16 of food stamps a month. And that's not going to feed their kids. Most families would get more than that, but you know, a food bank might give. Kevin's talking. You know, they're going to give 3 days of food on for people that come for that weekend. So they're going to get that 3-4 times a month, however many times they come in. At our food bank, we give 10 to 12 days worth of food, but it's still not everything that people need. You know, they need to come up with, even with backpack support for their kids eating. At school for 2 meals a day, you know, they can't just get all the food that they need through those things. They're still going to have to come up with some money to buy some food, too.
Food Lifeline, I think. I think it was Food Lifeline did a report a couple years ago, missing meals report, and it went county by county. I only know the Pierce County numbers because that's where I live. But it looked at all the different ways people can provide food for their family. So it looked at about their ability to buy with their own household income, about meals provided through schools, about food bank support, about WIC benefits, about basic food or food stamp benefits. And looking at all of that, it estimated that there were still 14%, for low-income people, 14% of meals were missing, so 1 out of 7, which basically meant that over the course of a week, there was 1 day's worth of food missing, even if they were accessing all those supports.
And a lot of times that's the parents going without food,
because
they usually don't make their kids go without food.
Yeah.
You know, the kids aren't getting snacks and stuff, but it's probably the parents missing meals.
And that missing meals report is on the Food Lifeline website, too. It's actually interactive now.
Yeah.
They have it for the whole nation now, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the site?
Food Lifeline.
Foodlifeline.org.
I think it's Food Lifeline or food-lifeline.org.
I think it's foodlifeline.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just from a practical standpoint, the gallon, the bags that you're talking about, are just Ziploc bags, like gallon Ziploc bags or something? Or what do you mean?
Oh, the gate bags that we put them in. We get, like, produce bags from the... we buy produce bags from Albert's, our local QFC, I guess. And so it's a just a little bag like that's probably the cheapest way. If you go to your local grocery store and have them sell you those bags, they're not too...
They sell it at cost.
Yes. And we squeeze the air out. Make sure your volunteers squeeze the air out and tie them up because they need to be small. That air just doesn't pack in.
And then the transportation. So you have volunteers to get
Well, some yes and some no. But this is a great... These are great projects for volunteers. So if I'm doing backpacks at 6 elementary schools every weekend, that means that I have one school that definitely has to be done in a van. When it goes out, there's 100 and some odd backpacks going out to that school. But I have somebody that picks up the backpacks every week in their car. It's like 5 or 6 boxes of backpacks from that week and brings them into the food bank. And so I have 6 schools that people can go and pick up the backpacks and bring them in. And that's one job that one elderly person, that a family can do once a week. It's, you know, if it has to be during the school day, then it's, you know, has to be, might have to be during the school day, but maybe it could be done on a Wednesday right after school and a family could do it. It varies school to school. And then I have seven schools that we have to transport backpacks to on either Thursday morning, most of my schools want them Thursday, or Friday morning. And a few of those can be done in a car, and some of them can be done in our food bank vehicles. And we have, you know, it's easy for people to get licensed on our food bank vehicles. We have about 50 drivers signed up, so I can just put them on my driving list, and they can use one of our vehicles.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of different ways. But it's a great project. You know, you have groups that come in and bag the backpacks. You have people that come in and pack those bags into backpacks, and you have the driving back and forth from the schools. So there's a lot of things that individuals can do.
Yeah, and you know, we had a group. We do it the same way. We have folks, and they kind of take the same school every week. So they know on Thursday afternoon they're going to come pick up food. We have one guy, he sings in the choir at our church, and so they just put the food in the church. He comes for choir practice Thursday night, picks it up Friday morning, he drops it off at the schools on his way to school. And then other folks will come Friday morning. It's great that we have a couple of moms who have young children still at home, so they'll come with their younger kids and then go and deliver it together. Or retired folks, because it's mostly got to be done during the day. But it's a nice, Chris mentioned this too, it's a nice off-site project. We've had a couple times with students at UPS and PLU where they'll do food drives and just collect the food for the program, and then they'll pack it right at their site, and then we'll just bring it all back to the food bank all ready to go out to the, you know, or to have, we have a group from Umpqua Bank that comes in once a month, and they come in, and that's what they do. They pack the food for the backpack program.
Yeah, people with their toddlers. We have a couple families that are homeschool and have some really little kids, and this is great. They could put one in each bag, and they could stand next to each other, put one in the bag, and pass it on. Some of them are standing up on milk crates to hit the side of the table, and it's pretty cute. So
I have a question. I know a number of the groups are thinking about how to address different ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. different food tastes. What different communities are comfortable with eating.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked a little bit about doing some surveys about different choices. Do you address that issue?
You know, it's kind of interesting. With the backpacks, we've done this more in summer meals. So both Kevin's Food Bank and my food bank do summer meals where we go out into parks and provide meals for kids. And we have done a lot of surveys in that.
Mm-hmm.
At the sites that where there's the most need, those kids are not picky at all,
mm-hmm.
and they'll eat anything. I think if you have probably the food need, you know, we have a lot of Hispanic families, and so we haven't really addressed that much in our backpacks. Again, we probably wouldn't put pork in a
mm-hmm.
in okay. anything that people can't just choose themselves. So we'll have it at our food bank, but we haven't addressed that very much.
And I think if you think about what they're getting through the school program, it's really not that, it's, the, you know,
yeah,
this is what they get.
It's pretty homogenized at the school.
That's breakfast and that's lunch. And this, they really
want fruit and milk, juice. So some of those things
nice,
don't have
but,
to be.
You know, we have to discuss as a group.
It's tough to make a, you know, It would be tough if you're sending 100 backpacks up to school. Say these have this in it, these have this in it, these have this in it. It's all closed up.
Logistical nightmare.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I guess my question is, you know, when I think about Girl Scouts, there's an organization that's got all kinds of kids that are
mm-hmm.
trying to do community service
mm-hmm.
and budgets. When you were talking about the food versus the actual packaging, do you see more of a need for volunteers to do food drives to actually collect food, or more of the ones that are actually, you know, sorting, stuffing, right?
There, there's a need for all of that. It's really nice to have food drives where people will go out and get food, and we have it, and we don't have to go buy it. Now, you know, there's also something to be said for being able to buy something, you know, do bulk buys on things. Northwest Harvest, which is a food bank for the food banks, has gotten some great deals on diced pears, mm-hmm. On some fruit cups, where we only have to pay maybe 18 cents a piece, and if you go to Costco, which a lot of times we go there to buy some of our other stuff, it's like 28 cents a piece or 22 cents for fruit leathers or 28 cents a piece for applesauce or 32 cents, something like that. And so sometimes we might be able to make the money go farther. It's hard to say. But I love it when people do, I love it when people do food drives, but we do also need regular groups to pack up those bags. So I don't know what's best. Everybody needs something different.
And do you have a system in place? I mean, so I guess I'm just trying to think of ideas of what kids could do. I mean, do you actually have a system in place for, I guess, finding the volunteers and getting them hooked up? Because who was over here talking about communications for Nourishing Networks? And, you know, being new to this, I'm really trying to understand, you know, is there a place, a website, where as part of this, people go so that they can pull out information for both the need and the, you know, matching the people that need stuff?
Yeah, there's a couple of different, at least I know in Pierce County, there's a couple, United Way, you can post specific volunteer requests and saying, so we can do it, you know, one for our food bank, one for the backpack program, list out different options. Also, I think, and we post it all on our own website, so I'll get a lot of emails or calls from people saying, I see you have a backpack program, how can I help? And then we'll just say, here's the different ways you can do it. And so we always need drivers, we always need people to package, we need people to do food drives. So whatever really works best for them and kind of give them the option.
It's, you know, we're in a little bit of an advantage because we're food banks and we have all these volunteers anyway.
Right, yeah.
So, and then we have, like my board of directors is churches, and so then we have 12 churches on my board of directors that take the information that I need back to the church and Rotary clubs and things like that. They take it back to their organizations and spread the word. So it's a little harder for another organization to find volunteers.
Corey, I'm sorry, just as a quick piece on this. Corey, could you, just to answer her question, share a little bit about what they are doing in Issaquah around the youth?
Corey, just
to quickly answer her question about the great example you were telling me about the youth that were handling the whole thing.
So, for my summer lunch program?
Yeah.
Okay, we in Issaquah did a summer lunch program, and it was very similar to the backpack. It's not that much different. We didn't provide meals in the park. We provided weeks' worth of snacky lunch-type breakfast items. And just a bag that kids would come and get. And we had a really nice collaboration with East Ridge Church. We just communicated with the church. They said they had a whole bunch of volunteers. And they said, I'll get the food if you do the program, and I'll make sure all the people get registered and you get food to the right people. And so East Ridge Church ended up coordinating all of the volunteers, and I provided the space for them. So they had a youth program at their church that actually came and put all of the lunches together. And we probably did, I think it was about 200 to 250 lunches a week. And we gave it out every Tuesday in the park, similar. But it was just, it wasn't like a meal in the park. It was a week's worth of snack stuff.
We should just talk. I guess for me, you know, I keep thinking about the fact that it would be nice to create that connection with the scouts that have so many kids that have projects.
Mm-hmm. And we're planning
so
on
we're going
to connect. Kids love helping kids.
We
have a system.
We have a place.
We're going to try it. And I think Lori, you guys probably have some ideas to think about. But remember that we have one of our nourishing networkers here who has a computer program that's one of these. I have this, who needs that, right? So it's a of a network thing. We're just trying to figure out where to put it right now. She's just dying for us to take it. So we're going to try to bug some people at some thing. Hopefully, I don't know. Give them a server and we'll put the thing on there and we'll figure out how that works. We just have to find an intern.
So if there are some girls that have some interest in maybe even looking at that, I mean, you know, part of it is I'm just trying to figure out what the opportunities are and then hooking up with whichever girls.
That's what I think is going to happen, because I'm thinking about, you know, K kids at the, you know, National Honor Society, they always look, my kid comes from every month and says, we don't know, we had a meeting about what we're going to do. I said, what are you going to do? We don't know. We don't know what we need to talk about. And I'm thinking, this would be a perfect opportunity, just like the Girl Scouts or the Brownies, and I know we've got the churches and they're represented. We just got to find a way to make sure that
the best kind of volunteer groups are ones that would come regularly. That I love the Girl Scout groups and the Rainbow Girls and all those that come in. And they'll come in like once a year. They'll do something. We have church groups that come in once or twice a year. We've been really successful with adult groups that will come once a month. And that's great for backpacks. We get the first Tuesday someone comes and fills backpack bags. And the third Tuesday we got someone filling backpack bags. And if I'm not sure if Girl Scout troops want to volunteer for that often, but it's really nice to have those groups that come in and you know they're going to be there once a month. You don't even have to go out and look for that. So maybe a bunch of groups could get together and say, okay, we'll take the first month, you take the second month, we'll take, you know.
And it sounds like if we can create the structure so that people can do that, or mm-hmm. there's some place where it's easy for them to go and say, you know, on a rotating basis, everything
yeah.
takes a month. Because my sense is that that's why the network exists, because it's kind of disjointed right now with everybody mm-hmm. trying to help, but maybe not.
Yeah, what
we
I think.
Don't know where to help yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's helpful for us with volunteers is that people know, I mean, Tacoma's a small enough big town that people kind of know, all right, food backpack, this is a place we can go do that if we're interested. They contact, and so we do have some folks who come, you know, once a month, second Wednesday, whatever, and then other folks who come once, and we just, my staff person who does this just keeps a little calendar, and so he knows that, you know, basically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are the days that he needs help doing that, and he makes sure he has somebody on each of those days, whether it's a regular group or a group coming one time. And then we just kind of, and we can usually hold like 10 or 15 people. Like, for instance, the reason we did the, with UPS, they wanted to do all their residence hall staff. It's like 50 people, and they were like, we didn't have enough space for them. But they had enough space on campus to do it, so they got all the food there and then packaged it all there, and we just had to bring it back to us. So we're willing to be flexible. But one of the advantages for us, too, is that we have a location. So I would assume for each of you that are doing this, you got to figure out where's the place you're going to do it so that you don't have to think, this month I do it at this church, and next month I do it at that church. It's finding one place so people know where to drop off donations, they know where to go to do the volunteer
yeah.
work.
Lots of hands.
Our summer program a huge success is I helped create experts, because the food bank didn't have the capacity or the time
mm-hmm.
to bag all of that stuff, and so I made East Ridge Church volunteer coordinator an expert, and so they just brought their group the volunteers in. All I did was have the food ready for them. I didn't have to do anything. So, and there was this, she could have different volunteers. I didn't care, but she was always there leading those volunteers, so I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So that was really crucial for our program, because we don't have enough staff to do that every week, or train a new group or
mm-hmm.
whatever. So.
Just a question, or actually a comment, and this is going to raise a huge conversation, I believe, so maybe we just need to. But one of the things, I mean, if we look at the potential, the momentum that could start to happen, because it's already happening somewhere else, and there's a lot of resources and a lot of people that are anxious and willing to get something going. One of the things that we've been wondering about, and actually we're starting to notice a little bit, is that how do we coordinate the source of food? And the reason I ask that is, Hope Link and there's other food, there's one other food bank I think here, but we don't have a penny to buy. I mean, 80%, 90% of what we give out is donated food that comes in. And we don't have much of a budget at all, and what we have is just getting cut. We served, 17,000 people last year. And so we are the front line for these families, and we know a lot of people aren't coming to us. But the dilemma is, if we start getting, I can see schools wanting to start doing their own food drives for their own backpacks. And how do we know, or stores that are in the local community, that instead of the volunteer from the local food bank coming and picking it up, because what we're going to be working with in our community, I think, is leveraging donated food. We're not going to have money to buy it, because we're not in a really low income area, so we don't get a lot of resources. So I'm just, you know, as it's really a conversation, nothing serious is happening, but I'm just thinking about how do we ensure that what we're doing is leveraging new resources and we're not just shifting food around?
You know, I think, our schools, you know, when you're 95% free and reduced lunch, you do a food drive. There's not a lot of food that comes in. We ask those schools if they'll bring in paper bags because we use a lot of those at the food bank. But you have a lot of folks in the area here that are rich enough to say, we don't want kids going hungry, and we're going to donate $5 a week for 2 children or 10 children, and we're going to make sure that they're eating on the weekend. So I would think that you could pull in some more donors just for that program. But the great thing, like, you're with HopeLink, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Food Lifeline has this unlimited supply of granola bars right now. You can get a lot of granola bars. And so there's a lot of things that you can get for backpack programs donated, which I think would, if you can, you know, work together with some other groups, I think that'll be a really good partnership. But there's a, you know, we get almost probably half of our foods that come in, we never have to purchase cereal or granola bars. We end up having to purchase fruit and juice and milk if we want that, and main meals. And the other things that we put in, and there's probably, 13 things that I told you we put in, 14 things, those are always donated. And a lot of that comes through the food bank stream. So,
and with the first couple schools, we did mostly out of donations. Once you move beyond that to 4 or 5 or 6 schools, then the more schools you're adding on, then suddenly the more we were having to purchase. And that's where you see we went from like little applesauce or little fruit cups to starting to use real fruit because we had enough of that coming in, and the other is very expensive. So we had the similar problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, one of the things, we take very little food that's coming, that's donated to the food bank for the backpack program. If we're having a surplus of an item, and they're going to have more of it than we need at the food bank, we'll take it over. So usually granola bars, those kind of things. But for the most part, we go out and target fundraising around this program. And for me, it's kind of raised the tide. It's raised our profile in the community, gets more people aware of us, and they tend to give not just to the backpack program, some of them do, but they also kind of give to the food bank. So we haven't had to rob Peter to pay Paul. It's kind of helped each other. And we've been able to grow the program. I mean, again, I could double the backpack program tomorrow just in Tacoma. But if I did, my board would be quite unhappy with me because we wouldn't be able to pay for it. The other thing is that kind of what we're looking at in Pierce County, is there a way to replicate it? So, I mean, we're basically serving a bunch of schools in Tacoma because that's where we're located. We've already been approached by the Clover Park School District in Lakewood about working with them on a couple of schools next year. There's a program in Bonnie Lake that does it. I got a call from someone in Buckley. So we're trying to figure out ways to kind of replicate it. So there's lots of people out there who are kind of learning it. One thing I might give a plug for, if Julie already hasn't, is the Washington Food Coalition is also a clearinghouse for those kinds of ideas and things that are going around, and they do a yearly conference where people who are doing it in different parts of the state come together, and you can have a chance to network and find out from folks. She's coming to my dinner, so I have to push her conference.
That.
There you go.
So we are, you're right, Chris. I mean, we're talking Bellevue, Issaquah, Redmond. We are our school district, and I know our Bellevue school district has a number of Title I schools, but they also have a number of non-Title I schools. We have PTA presidents here who can spread the word, and we can get into the other schools and talk about the program and get the donations.
We have a lot of people that donate to our food bank, but everybody's favorite thing is to donate to our backpack program.
Absolutely.
That's the thing that people love. They click in with it. It's feeding kids. And that's all you have to say. You'll start getting more donations.
And, you know, having been wrapping my head around all this for several weeks now, what I'm taking away, and I want to reassure everybody in this room, when Bellevue is going to launch one of these things, is that I love the fact that I can hear confidently that the food will be there.
Yeah.
And we already kind of know that, but we're not quite sure where the source is yet, but we do know it. And to hear the response, because you've gotten such a nice, overwhelming response of people want to support this, I know we will not have a problem with having a want to support it. Once we have leveraged the tools we'll need to get that information out to them.
And maybe you don't have to do 3 meals. You know, maybe you do 2 meals and a couple snacks. You know, you look at what you can do and then be really consistent and do that. You know, if you're going to say we're going to feed 20 kids for the rest of the year, make sure you're going to feed 20 kids for the rest of the year. And if you think you can do more, if you get more donations, you go back to that school and say, you know, we could do 10 more and raise it to 10 more.
And
And I would also suggest reaching out to the schools foundation. So as a schools foundation, we're very interested in meeting the needs in our district. And so for us, this is a natural a funding opportunity for us. And so to be able to contribute to the food bank so that they can purchase the food is very much in our wheelhouse and very much what our donors are interested in funding. So I see that if, as a real natural
connection. Go to your Rotary Club.
Rotary Club.
Rotary Club. Our Exchange Club donate. They've all donated backpacks. And as well as,
yeah,
as funds, and go to churches, and you know, if every Sunday school takes a different item, or you know, something like that, churches.
Yeah, we've never paid for a backpack.
Yeah,
I mean,
we did the first year because we just jumped into
United Way and Tacoma Public Schools every year do back to school supplies drives, and they just give us the extra backpacks that they already bought, so we have them in reserve.
This
might
be where Betty and I need to jump in, time-wise and everything.
Yeah, before you do that, we just have one question over here, and then we can...
I just have a comment. We have a fairly small backpack program compared to these people out of a small church. We started it to target children that were homeless in the school, so we didn't start with a large number, but donations have not been a problem. We have, one of the local real estate companies did a food drive, and brought us just a huge amount of food. The problem is we don't always have enough of everything. So money donations are always a good thing because we find we're ready to pack, but we don't have enough milk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough of something else. And then we have money, we can go get what we need. And sometimes people generously give things that are too large or not appropriate that just go to the food bank then. Because they don't, even with a list, they don't always understand what it is you want them to donate. But I don't think getting the donations is... I've been surprised that we haven't been finding that we were low on food. But our idea was to do as much as we could with the resources we have, and then to help other small churches or other organizations launch it. Adopt a school. Just adopt one school and help identify the kids in that school that need it, and just work within what resources you have. And it's worked very well.
Okay.
Thanks, Lori.
So I think the best thing at this point, I think it's a good time for us to move into where Bellevue are.
Okay. Let's also, well, we've got so many of the other nourishing networks. Do we want to break out and have Bellevue nourishing networks or this Issaquah?
Do you want to just participate?
Do you
want to
be part of
it? I think
it's
the participation. You're welcome to stay.
Oh, no, I didn't know if
see
they
what it feels like to come from the ground and go forward.
I just didn't want to force you guys into it. We'll take